Hey everybody, welcome back to the Noel Castler Podcast, episode 109. Sorry, it's been a while. Been writing and doing some other stuff, traveling a lot, but it's good to be back. It's good to talk to you guys. Let me get settled in here. There's a lot going on. I missed you. Sorry, I can't stop playing. I gotta put it down. I messed up the intro as well. Maybe I'll just play underneath my podcast tonight. I just got back from Florida. I was down there for a week doing some writing. If you follow my Substack, you'll see what I wrote about. Some of it was alarming. It's always a little bit alarming to be down in Florida. I was in New Orleans before that. I was there for the Tulane Book Festival, and that was a few days of everybody talking about Trump and what we're facing as a democracy. Got to meet Heather Cox Richardson. Very nice lady. I know a lot of you guys probably read her or follow her. And I got to eat some gumbo. Saw Mitch Landry. James Carville. And I saw three presidents. I was at the big rally. Whoa, fundraiser. I almost dropped my guitar. That would not be good. The trusty 68 Martin. It's my Willie Nelson guitar. Willie's son liked a car rant I did the other day because I was wearing his brother's baseball hat. And I think he agreed with my his merch hat, not like his actual hat. I think he agreed with my sentiment. And probably some of you guys saw that. So anyway, I'm sorry it's been a while between podcasts. I've been putting out a lot of stuff, writing, painting, you know, doing what I can do to keep sane. Hopefully we all are. We're in it now, aren't we? The good news is Biden is doing very well in terms of what he's actually doing, in terms of his leadership, the student loan stuff. I was on a meeting yesterday, the White House public office affairs, public affairs, whatever, you know, the people behind the scenes that have been working on this student loan deal. And it's really indicative of his leadership style, right? Because everybody always talks about how old he is. You don't talk about all these young, smart, wonkish people that are, you know, implementing what he says get done. You know, get this 30 million people, get their loans reduced, get the interest-only payments. They're not touching the principal like myself. I've been paying on mine since 1996, and I owe about 10 grand more now than I borrowed, more than that. So you never get to touch the principal. You're just locked into this cycle of paying interest. I've been paying over 200 bucks, you know, for that time. You know, it's insane. I've never defaulted or anything, and I've never come close to paying off the debt. And he knows how that hampers, especially young people. Like things, you know, I'm not a 25-year-old kid trying to buy a house, you know, but when I was, I had this debt, you know, not that I had the money to buy a house, but like, why would you want somebody else to go through that cycle? You know, a lot of people say, well, they took out the money, they should pay it back. It's not about that. It's about the exorbitant interest and that cycle where you're just, you know, you're paying the salary of some bank CEO. You're not fairly paying back an opportunity for education. That stands in the way of progress in life, right? It's a burden, and Biden is smart enough to realize that it holds back our economy, right? And that it disproportionately affects minorities and women and people of color. You know, the people that the Republicans are more than happy to punish, which is why they blocked the bill and the Supreme Court upheld it, you know. But Undersecretary of Education James Cavall worked out a plan to work around it. And he's got a lot of young, smart people that work in the administration that found another way to go about this, and they've been successful. And there's a lot of people benefiting from this, especially young people. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, in the face of all this insanity and calamity. Here's this guy with a compassionate approach to government. You know, government's there to solve your problems, to make life easier, to rebuild the bridge, you know, when a freighter smashes into it, as happened in Baltimore. You know, I'm a Maryland boy originally, and you know, a lot has been said, and I'm happy that a lot was made of the fact of who died on that bridge. It was immigrants. That's who's building our roads. That's who's repairing our roads. That's who's working in the middle of the night and the early morning to make sure you can get to work safely. So, you know, the fact that they're constantly targeted and disparaged by a despicable party that only cares about elevating the biggest criminal this country has ever produced back into office so he doesn't have to be held accountable. You know, I think it's like 10 times he's tried to delay the trial that starts on Monday. You know, and the judge isn't falling for it, so he's going to stand trial, and he's going to have, you know, the playmate that he cheated on Melania with take the stand, and he's going to have the porn star that he cheated on Melania with after she had his baby take the stand. You know, I don't even want to keep talking about him. This is part of the reason I haven't done this podcast. I can write about it in small chunks, but you know, and I tweet about it all day long or thread about it or whatever it's called, but it's maddening, you know. Enough already. It's an embarrassment to be an American because of this guy. This is the dumbest, creepiest man who's ever held public office, who's ever been in public life. Everyone has known he's a scumbag for decades. They knew he couldn't read when I worked on Celebrity Apprentice. It was a joke. His own children laugh at him. He was a dumbass the day he was born, you know? He was an idiot. He's always been a problem child. His own family knows it. His children know it, you know? But he's a useful idiot to Vladimir Putin, right? And now Ukraine is getting bombed every night because he told the GOP to hold up funding, right? 3 weeks ago. And now Kharkiv is getting leveled like Aleppo, you know, like all these other places, Grozny, all these other cities where Putin bombed them into, you know, submission and then took the land. And that's what he's going to do. You know, that's what he's going to do to Ukraine. Syria, he just wanted to prop up a dictator and show his might. And Trump helped him do that too when he turned his back on the Kurds and took our troops out in the middle of the night and they got slaughtered, right? Everything he's ever done benefits Putin. People forget about that. It happened in 2019. You know, American bases the next day had Russian soldiers in them, bases that we built, that we paid for, that the military put their blood, sweat, and tears into. You know, the same military that Trump disparages every opportunity he gets. And it's disgusting. I'm sick of it. I've been sort of informally studying World War II recently because I don't think you can look away from that. That's too big an example to not learn those lessons. And it's so recent. You know, World War II ended 30 years before I was born. That's not a long time. I had grandfathers that, you know, served. You know, my grandfather was an intelligence officer in a bomber over Dresden, you know, telling them where to drop bombs. A horrible thing, you know, on women and children, but fighting, you know, a fascist, fighting somebody that we had to fight any way we could, you know, and a lot of people suffered, millions of people on all sides of the conflict. You know, Europe was in flames. France was occupied for 4 years or whatever. As was the whole of Western Europe, except for the UK, who got bombed every single night. You know, and then we finally went over there and we had to sacrifice incredible amounts, like just hell. They all went through hell. You know, all these soldiers that he disparaged, the same people that applaud Trump now have relatives that served in World War II or war after that, which were all Cold War related, which all stem to that. You know, the latter ones ostensibly fighting Russia by proxy in Vietnam, in Korea, fighting communism, you know, the Reagan malfeasance in Central America. It was the Red Scare, right, that was pushing all of that. You know, well, the Red Scare is referring to McCarthyism and a way to manipulate that, right? But that was the Republican mantra. Russia is bad, right? And they are bad now. Putin is an evil guy, right? But to see the same party that was, you know, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall, Ronald Reagan, go patriotism, hold up funding for Ukraine, right? Who's out of bullets, who's been fighting gallantly in the mud and the cold for 2 years while a psychopath drops bombs on their women and children, and they're out of bullets. They're not asking us to come and fight. They're just asking us for ammunition. And these limp, dick, spineless Republicans won't send it because some fat geezer in a diaper down in Mar-a-Lago is telling them not to, is more than I can bear. Like, I don't understand how that guy is still walking around. I honestly don't. I'm a nonviolent person, but like, for all the people that have befalled, or had some horrible fate befall them, the fact that this guy just walks around with impunity and does this stuff is terrifying, and it should terrify you, right? Because he's building an army. When you see these guys in the pickup trucks with their flags and their AR-15s and all their battle insignia, my neighbor just dropped a big flag in front of his house. The cops, firemen, flag, the Blue Lives Matter flag now has red and green in it to represent cops and firemen or military or something. I'm for all those things, but they're politicizing it. It's American flag. It shouldn't be black and white and your colors, okay? It looks like one thing. To manipulate a flag and to fly it in front of your house to show your branding is peak Trumpism, right? This toxic iconography that sort of, I've talked about before, it came up after 9/11, but Trump rebranded it. It's more than just his red hats and stuff. It's this sort of idiot machismo, this fascist freedom fighter thing. It's scary to me because that stuff is popular, And when I was down in Florida, I was staying in this hotel, and there was guys training in this hotel. I wrote about it on Substack. If you're not signed up for my Substack and you listen to the podcast, you really should, because I put a lot of work into those things. And if you want to support the podcast right now, that's the way to do it. I do want to start doing this more regularly, and I want to find a way to, get a patron or something. I'll sell you some paintings or whatever. I'll do a live chat. Whatever you guys want to do, I want to do this regularly. I gotta make it so I can. But when I was down in this hotel room in Florida, I stayed there for a week. I stayed at the same hotel all the time. These guys were there training for something, They were like military tattooed, kind of special forces looking guys, but bigger, sorry, it's a phone call. And they were preparing for battle, right? They were preparing for something. I don't know what. I surmised what it could be. I sort of gamed it out in this article, and it's worth doing because we saw on January 6th the sort of, fanaticism that Trump inspires in his followers. And the guys that attacked the Capitol were the Gravy SEALs, right? But that same day, there was more guys across the river, waiting in Virginia, well-armed little militia splinter groups that it was later reported that sort of never were activated, right? Because whatever the end game was that day, obviously to hang Mike Pence and Trump would declare martial law and they'd sort of seize power, those guys would step in and do something, right? And that never came to fruition, thankfully, right? But I wrote about this in Substack too. There's something called a battle rhythm, right? And they haven't backed off from that plan. And now they're sort of in their battle rhythm. And they've been preparing for years. And men like Mike Flynn are part of the program again. Men like Paul Manafort are back on board with the Trump campaign. Paul Manafort has one job, to get money out of Russia, to influence politics and politicians on behalf of Putin. That was his business in DC, That was his business in the 70s, with Roger Stone and Louis Black, not Louis Black, the comedian, but Black Kelly. It was Stone, Manafort, Black, and Kelly. I'm blanking on, Black's name. Who gives a crap? But what they did was they opened up DC and the lobbying institution of DC to dictators, to men like Ferdinand Marcos, Idi Amin. The worst of the worst in the late 70s and the 80s. They didn't care. If you had money, you could buy influence in DC. And a guy like that struck pay dirt when Putin came to power, right? Because when the Soviet Union collapsed, it was a kleptocracy, Anybody who was loyal to Putin became an oligarch. They controlled the industry. Oleg Deripaska with Rusal, who put all this money into Mitch McConnell and Kentucky and most of the Republican Party. There was money to be spread around. And Paul Manafort was the kind of guy who would take a cut and spread it around. That's why he went to work for free 3 days before the Republican convention in 2016 and got him to change the platform in favor of Russia. You need to think about that. A guy got the GOP, the Republican Party, the ones I just said at the top of this broadcast, spent their whole career sort of being the tough military standing up to Russia guys. We're like, yep, okay, we'll change it because that's what Trump wanted, right? Trump didn't even so much know that he wanted it, right? That was what Paul Manafort told him he wanted, policies that further isolated Ukraine, Manafort was the guy with Konstantin Khlimnik messing around with Ukrainian elections on behalf of Putin. So, it runs deep, it's well funded, and we're seeing the results now. And those results aren't theoretical things. They're life and death for the people of Ukraine, and they're life and death for us too. It just hasn't gotten that extreme, but it will, right? And it's extreme enough. You look at the abortion ban in, Arizona. It hasn't taken effect, but a complete abortion ban. No exceptions for rape or incest. A law that was written before it was even a state, right? Like in a Civil War era time when it was just a territory, a bunch of old white dudes were like, this is the law. It's insane. Women couldn't even vote. And you're having a pig like Donald Trump who's paid for abortions in his lifetime, who doesn't have any real moral, opinion on it. His opinion is he's a consumer. He's a beneficiary of abortions when he'd get a cocktail waitress pregnant. He'd send him $1,000 and they'd sign an NDA and it'd be case closed and it wouldn't end up in page six and his wife probably wouldn't hear about it. Not that he really cares. That's how Trump did business, right? He's a hypocrite, as all these GOP guys are. You don't think their daughters are going to be flying to a state that allows abortion, if they can? And they may not have that option, right? Because it's a nationwide ban that Trump will implement, and that is extreme. Women have already died. Women are already suffering, and it's not a women's health issue. It's a human rights issue. And it's insane that I'm even talking about it. And it's insane he was able to sort of kill Roe v. Wade. And it's insane the amount of corruption that allowed the justices to uphold, or the Dobbs case, right? To decide against women's right, the three, scumbags that Trump put on the court, Brett Kavanaugh, they all lied, right? Gorsuch, the woman, I can never remember her name. She looks like the singer in Iron Maiden to me. The handmaiden's lady. Like, it's nuts. It's nuts. They were bought and paid for by the Federalist Society. 3 days after Trump got elected, or within the first week or two, he was still president-elect. Leonard Leo walked into his office in Manhattan in Trump Tower, handed him a list of 12 names, and said, "You can pick any of these people for the Supreme Court, but nobody else." Three of those names now sit on the Supreme Court with lifetime appointments, and women are facing a nationwide abortion ban. That is what is at stake in this next election. It's not just that, that's the tip of the iceberg, right? Our whole democracy is at stake, our whole bureaucracy. Project 2025 is about dismantling the administrative state. What makes our country run? That bridge that's getting rebuilt in Baltimore, there's people in the general accounting office and beyond, working in the bureaucracy of DC to make sure these bills get paid, to make sure, experts get paid, to make sure people show up and do the jobs they've trained to do their whole lives. That's what Trump wants to dismantle. That's what he started to dismantle in his first term on behalf of these conservative think tanks that want to go back to a, winner-take-all economy where there's no social protections, there's no social security, there's no unions, there's no worker protections, there's no regulations on industry, and the people who own those industries can exploit the workers, exploit the land, poison our environment and do it with impunity, and then sit down in Palm Beach with a big mansion on the causeway and cut a check to this fat, greasy asshole at his fundraiser, like he had with Paulson, right? At Paulson's house, John Paulson, the other night in Mar-a-Lago, you know, where he had it was a rogues gallery of scumbags, Steve Wynn, you know, Katsimatidis, all these guys flew in to cut a check for Trump. The same guys that were cutting checks for him next to Epstein's house in May of 19 when they called another meeting. And Rudy Giuliani and Trump showed up, and Howard Lutnick, who owns Cantor Fitzgerald, held a fundraiser in his townhouse right next to Epstein's that he bought from Epstein's brother, who brokered the deal, you know? And they said, "Hey, you guys spent time next door, right? It's about to pop off, you know? Jeffrey's about to get arrested again. Pay up and we'll make sure it goes away." And what happened? He was dead in 3 months. AG Barr visited him in prison. If you think I'm being a conspiracy theorist, look into it and find your own answers, because those are the only ones that make sense to me. You know, that a lot of wealthy guys have a lot of compromise and they want to be able to game the system. They don't want the judiciary to apply to them. And I know for a fact, in Trump's case, he was a frequent, you know, visitor to Epstein's townhouse, because I know a woman who was in there with him, and she said, "You wouldn't believe what these men did to women and girls." And it's well documented, the Katie Johnson case. You know, I don't need to veer off into that now, but these are scumbags with secrets, and they don't want you to know their secrets. They want to amass so much power that you can't do anything to them. And that's what Trump is right now. That's what he's showing the country. I am bigger than your courts. I am bigger than your laws. Fight for me. If I don't win, it'll be a bloodbath. Right? He's not hiding it. He's saying it out loud. There's no horse race to cover if you're the mainstream media. You know, this is an existential crisis. This is a bad human being who's being propped up by thousands of other bad human beings. And he's going to tap into the most ignorant, most racist part of this country. And the sad thing is, these idiots think they're fighting for freedom. You know, they buy the bullshit they're getting fed on Fox News. These are not culturally sophisticated people. These are people who have been dumbed down for decades. They're good, hardworking people, but they got a bug in them, right? Their operating system has a bug in them that makes them, you know, susceptible to xenophobia, to resenting somebody else, to thinking an immigrant is your enemy. That immigrant is your friend. You know, he's coming to work hard. Every time I get any work done on this house, you know what happens? A white guy shows up in a new pickup truck with a fancy name on the side, you know, that his company's called, and he walks around and he writes up an estimate, and you take the job, and the next thing that happens is a couple, you know, more beat up used pickup trucks show up in the driveway, you know, and guys from Latin America and Central America get out and they do an expert job and they work their asses off, and they probably get a fraction of the check that you cut to the white guy that you saw once, whose name is on the side of the truck. Right? That's how it works. They're at the top of the pyramid. They should be kissing the ass of the immigrants who are willing to work hard and then work their way up. That's how it should work. Right? You don't turn your back on that guy who's putting food on your table. The immigrants are putting food on all of our tables. Who do you think picks the fruit? You know, and the vegetables, and it's not to denigrate them. That is skilled labor and it's hard work, and they'd rather be doing something else, right? But we fucked over their countries through our policies for centuries, right? So they don't have the opportunity to come here and easily be a teacher or a doctor or a lawyer or an artist or whatever they want to do. So they're willing to wash your dishes and clean your hotel room and pick your food if they can have a safe place to live to raise their kids, so maybe their kids don't have to do that. And you're going to diss that? You're going to demonize that? You're going to be an Elon Musk and fly in your jet and objectify these persons, stare at them with your cowboy hat on backwards, like you're reporting on an invasion because Sean Hannity or Joe Rogan or some other asshole told you that's what's happening? You know, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And the people who buy this shit are only a few generations off the boat themselves, right? It's Irish, Italian, European stock, like myself. You know, some of my family was blue bloods, but even the blue bloods came over here on a boat. We all stole this land, you know? And the people who got the wealthiest at the beginning did it on the backs of enslaved human beings, you know, which is the ultimate sin, of which we have still not fully atoned as a nation. We should be paying reparations. You know why? Because it's the right thing to do. And it'll change who you are morally, right? When you face up and make financial amends. But the other reason is it'll make those GOP weasels squirm. It'll make their freaking heads explode. We should raise taxes on the corporations and the polluters and the people who've benefited from that. And we should give it to the people who've been subjugated and who've been litigated against and have been picked on by the GOP forever. That's what we should do. We should make things right, make them learn a moral lesson, because they need to. They need to have a personality change. That's why you do the stuff in the 12 steps. When you get sober, the reason you do that stuff is because you're trying to humble yourself. You're trying to face up to the things you've done, make them right, so you don't live in shame anymore. So you don't have this subconscious weight fueling your actions and fueling your defects. Because those things make you mean and bitter. And they make you want to say, yeah, that person's a bad person, so I don't owe them anything. I treated them like that because that's what you're supposed to do. And that's what my grandpappy did. That's bullshit. Your grandpappy was an ignorant fool. You're coming from a land of ignorant fools. I saw guys on 84. I was coming back from Albany a couple of weeks ago, visiting my my grandfather. This guy keeps calling Hey, I can't talk, man. I'm doing a podcast right now. I can't hear you, buddy. Sorry. Australia, I think. I got an email from somebody in Australia today. I gave him my number. Anyway, sorry about that. I'm sorry to interrupt the podcast. My phone married to my computer, and it's been ringing on my computer all day, and it's just driving me absolutely bonkers. They should not be related, okay? But back to the subject. The reason you do those things is you're trying to get right with yourself so you don't live in shame, right? So you can say, yeah, I did that. It was wrong, but I'm not that person anymore, and I've done the work on myself to change. And that's what we need to do as a nation, because Trump will be gone someday, right? One way or another, that idiot's going to be gone, or he's going to break us. And you don't want that to happen. And there's plenty of time to prevent that from happening. So, as dire as I make things sound, I'm not talking about giving up. I'm talking about fighting. And when we get over him, we're going to have to sort of rehabilitate the minds of the people who fell for that crap. And we've never done that before. Right, we just kind of laughed about it and like, yep, they're racist in the South and whatever. The South turned into everywhere, right? I was on 84, and like, as I was saying, I was coming back from Albany. I saw like a phalanx, a convoy of these big pickup trucks, and they all had the stickers and the Trump flags. And they were flying Dixie flags on 84. 84 runs from like Pennsylvania through Connecticut in New England, to Massachusetts. Like, who do you think was fighting in that war? This land was not on, this territory was not flying that flag, buddy. The irony in this. But, it appeals to them, right? It's the iconography of the ignorant, and it hasn't gone away. Just like Nazism hasn't gone away, right? Just like fascism hasn't gone away. It has an appeal to these folks. And they think of World War II, they don't think of the suffering. They don't think of the Marines on Pelu or Peleliu, however you say it, these islands in the Pacific where they're getting rained on, Guadalcanal and stuff, fighting for 6 weeks in the mud and the rain, with bodies and corpses rotting all around them. It's hell. You send kids into hell. That's what war is. Hell, suffering. If Trump is reelected, if Putin takes over Ukraine, you're going to have war on the mainland of Europe. You already have it. You already have the biggest ground war since World War II happening in Europe in a big chunk of it, right? But you should think of it like you think of Poland. If we had cut Hitler off at Poland and taken a stand there and not had people, thinking that they could appease him, like Stalin and whatever, we talked about that last time. If you didn't have that sort of like, oh, maybe it won't be so bad, they won't come all the way to France, like, no, he will, because you're not giving him any reason to stop. And that's why Trump has Orban to Mar-a-Lago, giving him the pitch on illiberal democracy, which is obviously an oxymoron, but it's what you call what Orban has done. And that has appeal. This is a global phenomena. There's a report out today in New Zealand. Their foreign policy is going far right. We're being warned by their politicians about this shift. This is scary, scary stuff. And we're right now in such a crucial point. You know, and if Trump gets elected, we're going to be in a worse place than we already are. And when you look at what's going on in Gaza, you look what Israel, you know, is going through, being led by Netanyahu, you know, just having a madman in charge of their country after suffering the trauma, you know, of October 7th. And now you got, you know, 30,000 people dying, dead in Gaza. You got aid workers getting blown up. Like, there's just so much suffering on this planet. What you need to do now is make it better. You need to find politicians that have the ability and the empathy to work towards progress. You know, and when I was at that Three Presidents thing, it was getting interrupted by all the protesters that are just out of their freaking minds, right? Because they're trying to shout down Barack Obama. If you're shouting down Barack Obama, you're a freaking idiot, okay? If you think you know more about, like, Middle East politics than Bill Clinton, you're a freaking idiot, okay? His best friend in foreign politics, Itzhak Rabin, got murdered for trying to bring peace, you know, in Israel, by extremists in Israel, okay? These men worked hard on it. If you think Joe Biden doesn't care, and Biden was like, let him go, let him talk. He wanted to hear what they had to say, but they didn't want to hear what these guys had to say. They wanted to have their buddies TikTok video it, and that's what they did. So somebody would film, and then they'd get up and scream, and they'd get carried out. That's not to say what is happening isn't awful, okay? But they're trying to damage the Democratic Party to get their moment, you know, on TikTok, and it'll look cool in the coffee shop in Brooklyn tomorrow. And they're shouting down, you know, Barack Obama, President Obama, you know, one of the few success stories we've had. If you're a progressive, you know, and you're not looking at Obama as one of the highlights of this movement, one of the unvarnished successes where the guy didn't end up assassinated, you know, and you're shouting him down, you're a moron. Okay, and he said, look, you can't just talk all the time and not listen. That's what the other side does. And he got cheered, you know, by the 5,000 people, including myself, that spent a lot of money to be there, you know. And we're not all rich. Yeah, there was a lot of rich people there. I'm not rich, you know, but it matters to me. And I respect democracy, and I respect people who want to work, you know, towards a better world the old-fashioned way. There's not to say you can't have differences, but you can't be a terrorist about it. You know, you can't interrupt stuff in the way of MAGA. It just reminded me of MAGA, you know, just the shouting down and the spectacle of it all, the ego involved in it, you know. And that's all manipulated. That's, you don't think that plays into Putin's hands, you're an idiot, you know. So we're in a world that's very tumultuous, you know. The tempers are high all over the place. Right? But we have to work towards peace and understanding when we have to understand where we came from and how perilous this moment is. There is no choice. It's not the lesser of two evils. It's a choice between a man who spent 50 years in Washington, who knows how to get things done, who knows how to hire really smart, you know, young people who have, you know, energy and intelligence and enthusiasm for governing. Or it's a guy who says, I'm going to fire everybody and replace them with sycophants so next time I can do what I want on behalf of the oil companies and Saudi Arabia and Vladimir Putin and whoever the hell else pays me and helps keep me out of jail. You know, that's the reality. And you got to get hip to that. You know, because the time is running out. You can't count on the courts. You can't count on Merrick Garland. That ship has sailed. You know, Jack Smith is doing all he can, but he's going to run out of time. The trial on Monday is going to grind Trump down because it's going to be a spectacle. He's going to lose, and he's not going to be able to fathom what these witnesses are saying against him. So that one is really going to get under his skin. But, you know, it's not going to throw him, you know, in Leavenworth where he belongs. Right, we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to show up at the polls, and we're going to have to be prepared for him not accepting the results. And that's what I think those people that are gathered in Florida were there to do. You know, they were there for whatever plan happens on election night when all these wackadoodles all over the country, you know, your states, secretaries of states, and all these people that'll throw out the ballots or say, you know, we cheated or all this kind of stuff, right? Or you know, whatever kind of chaos or, God forbid, attacks they sort of plan to put us into a constitutional crisis, right? To make it all look like it's chaotic and crazy, and then Trump's going to show up on the TV screen at 8 o'clock and say, "I won. They're trying to steal the election now. Take to the streets. Defend me. Defend your country. I deputize you. You're a freedom fighter now." And you're going to have all these jackalopes with their AR-15s and their MAGA hats and their pickup trucks and their dumbass attitudes. You know, "I ain't letting no liberals come through my town." You know, and they're in my town. I guarantee you they're a couple towns over where I grew up, because I know those people. I went to high school with them. There's morons all over this country that have been so deeply manipulated by this stuff, that are so culturally, you know, amenable to believe in this bullshit, that it's going to be tense and scary, and we're going to need cool heads and adults to decipher the situation. You know, and thank God Ronna McDaniels was fired from MSNBC. Because the thing I said on Twitter when that happened was like, what'll happen if the scenario I just laid out takes place, and then you had somebody on MSNBC who says, "Well, maybe Trump has a point. Maybe Biden did steal the election." You know, what if that poison slips into the mainstream? Which it may be. There may already be people at ABC and CBS and NBC that'll go along with this. There'll certainly be people within the military, within the FBI, within law enforcement that'll go along with this. Mike Flynn didn't go anywhere. He's probably planning this stuff. He's probably the general, you know, directing what I saw. And what I saw was potentially like one cell. It was like 14 dudes, you know, and they'd work out all night and they'd be off in the day, like, doing something. And I tried to eavesdrop and overhear, and it was Trump security related, whether it related to Trump directly or Ron DeSantis, who's apparently building, you know, a militia down there, a private security force. I don't know. What I know is somebody was paying them, they were organized, and they appeared to be well funded, you know. And this could be, you know, this could be happening all over the country right now. And I think you should think about the fact that perhaps it may be, because you don't want to find out after the fact. And there's a lot of stuff that can happen right under our noses, you know, with all the other chaos and all the other headlines going on every day that we're not aware of. Do you know what I'm saying? So, you know, something's afoot. And we need to work through that. We need to not sleep on what their objective is. And thankfully, we're not. Like, everything you hear is about how, you know, this is a fight for democracy. You know, read Timothy Snyder, you know, the Yale guy who wrote On Tyranny. All the Hitler playbook is what Trump is repeating, and he's ramping it up on a steady basis and getting away with it, rather. People are becoming numb to it. It's like I said, it's a battle rhythm. There was the General David Petraeus. He was in a conversation with Mitch Landrieu down there in Tulane. And he talked about that concept. He's like, you don't want your enemy to develop a battle rhythm, or you want to find your own. And that's the way, you know, your sort of strategy combines with the supplies and the funding and the training, and it all sort of comes together and you start to hit your rhythm, you know? Trump is a loose cannon. He's never going to hit his rhythm, right? His rhythm is snorting some Adderall and raging. But the guys behind him are very much hitting their rhythm, you know, and they've gotten away with all their past crimes. You know, Roger Stone, Manafort, they're all out of jail. Mike Flynn, they're walking around planning something and they're getting paid and they want to get away with it this time. And they came damn close last time. And it's our job not to let them, you know. And the easiest way to do that is to be aware of what's really happening. You know, awareness, right? Awareness is always the key. Honesty, sunlight. You know, we had the eclipse the other day. It's getting warm out, you know. Sunlight is the best disinfectant. You can't let this stuff, you know, breed in the darkness. There was a reason Trump kicked off his campaign at Waco. That's where he did his first big event for this 2024 campaign. It was in Waco. And it was a wink and a nod to the extremist movement that seemed pretty marginal back then. But the reality we learned later is that there were cells all over the place. You know, there was the Michigan militia, there was all these other guys, right? Besides the Branch Davidians. There was all these other guys, and what happened to them, which was horrible. The FBI went in and completely screwed it up. There's a great show on Showtime, a dramatized version of that. But what did it do? It pissed off all these other militia groups. That stuff is on steroids now. That stuff is in the mainstream now. It's not just the Proud Boys, you know. There wasn't the internet back then it was a little bit of email and stuff, but there wasn't social media. You didn't have Alex Jones, that no-neck psychopath screaming poison into people's, craniums every night. You didn't have little kids looking at Nazi stuff on YouTube. You didn't have all the influencers. You didn't have the outsized power that a Fox Network news wields on whole states. There's whole states of dumbasses now. That's what the abortion issue is. It's not about religion. It's not about health. It's about controlling women. It's about controlling people. It's about saying, hey, mediocre white men make the rules and you better get in line. And it's disgusting because we don't need to live that way. Diversity is our strength. We're a country that of all kinds of races and religions and orientations, and it's all good. As long as it doesn't hurt somebody else, it's all good. That's what you're here to do. You're here to find your truth. You're here to be creative, Not in some, you don't have to be the next Taylor Swift. It's not about the end result. It's about finding what you're good at, what you lose track of time doing, right? What sort of comes easily, but you feel like you have to do it. When you tap into that, you're tapping into a truth, a color that you need to show us, right? Everybody's got a gift and we need them. We need it now more than ever. It's like I said at the beginning of this podcast, not today, I mean like 108 episodes ago. I was talking about the fish, right? The scales on the fish. And the sun comes through the water and you see a rainbow trout or something, and it's got this rainbow color because each scale is reflecting a different shade, a purple, a red, a gold, right? And it's all part of a bigger organism that's moving through. But each scale has a purpose when the sunlight reflects off it. That's how humans are. We're all part of that. We're all connected. You're always meeting yourself. Even these people I resent, and sort of hate on an intellectual, ideological basis, they're my brothers ultimately. You can't run from this. And this rot is in us as Americans. There's no escaping this because it's going around the globe. But as a people, we're responsible for this filth. We're responsible for the amount of time that Trump has taken from the world in terms of progress. Think of all the issues we face right now. Climate change, poverty, war. A lot of them he's directly tipping the scale on, right? But the ones that he's not, the one that he's too stupid and corrupt to confront, that oil companies won't let him talk about, that he'll appoint a Scott Pruitt to the EPA and the guy will put in a listening booth for $20,000 so he can call oil executives and nobody else in the office can hear what he's saying because he's taking orders, destroying our environment, right? So Trump's on the take for those guys, and that's why they don't want to confront these issues. But in a larger sense, we're not as a nation progressing towards fixing these things. Inflation Reduction Act is the biggest environmental, bill we've had in this country. So I'm not saying it's not on the agenda of Biden, and it is, but we could have a tremendous amount of progress on that. We could have every night, on the news, you're hearing about Trump all the time. You're not hearing about these other problems. You're not hearing about innovations and solutions and, the best of humanity, right? We've all become addicted to hearing about the worst man ever, and we're living under his shadow. And it's 8 years now. It's time for it to be over, man. It's time to just put this pig away and move on and re-educate these people who've fallen under his sway and teach them that it is in their best interest to care about the environment, to care about an equitable recovery for all Americans, to reach their hand across to another human being, in brotherhood, not in like, get out of my country. Screw you. It's not your country. That person needs a helping hand. You help them. You help somebody come into this land and work hard. You got an ally for life. Tap into that resource. That's our greatest strength, is that diversity. You help somebody come here and set up a life and protect his children and give him a way to earn a living and a safe place to live. You got a friend. You got somebody who's going to get up every day and work hard and be happy, that you gave them that opportunity. That's how you build teams, Right? That's how you build strength. That's what makes America great. And we were great in response to World War II when we finally got our heads out of our ass. Right? And joined together, everybody got on board. As I've said a million times, 19-year-old women left their homes in the Midwest and went to work in shipyards on the coast. They've never seen water before. They're arc welding underwater, building ships, building planes, building tanks, building, munitions, building clothes, sending them to the troops, rationing products at home, not eating sugar, not eating whatever, going without for the greater good. When we come together as a team, we can do anything. And Biden's aware of that. He's a president who understands that. And I would posit that that's the central tenet of who we are as Americans, right? We're a motley crew. We're a mixed bag from all over the world. Our strength is coming together as one, as Americans, not white, not black, not Asian, not Hispanic, American, a country that accepts all of that. And make something the world has never seen, something that can solve problems and something that can work towards progress. And that's a threat to people that just want to exploit it, that want to exploit the land, exploit the workers, and lie and say they have a claim over the American life and use religion, use white supremacy, use mediocrity and generational wealth to keep others down, say stupid things like Trump's only. Standing in the way. They're really coming for us. That's why they're going through him. Nope, we're coming for him. We don't give a shit about you. Okay? You need to put down your AR-15, go to work, shut the fuck up, read a book, turn off Joe Rogan, and get real. Because your daughter, your son's probably gay or gonna be gay, and there's nothing wrong with it. So make sure your town isn't legislating hate against your children and making it unsafe for them to live and go to school, which is happening all over this country, which happened in Oklahoma, right? State, bigoted state, bigoted state. A girl gets beaten to death by other girls in the bathroom. That's something that wouldn't have happened 30 years ago. That's a product of the extremism that's sweeping our country. Look into the horrors of World War II. You don't have to. You know it, but look at it. Don't look away. Pick a book, pick a movie. Think about it. Watch the series on the Apple, on the planes, the air, not the airborne. That was the, that was the other guys. That was the Band of Brothers, was the airborne, which was insane. Jumping out of planes and landing in France, half of them getting killed in the air or blowing up in the plane, fighting the Nazis back all the way to Germany. And we did, we sacrificed and did that. We did that so we wouldn't have to face this now. We didn't do that so, hey, let's do it again in 70, 80 years. That was fun. We did it so, like, never again. That's what NATO is, right? Trump wants to pull us out of NATO. He disparages NATO. NATO exists so we don't have to go through that shit again. How do you think it feels to be a European nation right now, hearing what Trump is saying, seeing the GOP not funding Ukraine? And it's not even like a lot of money. We're not funding them because we can't afford it. We can't afford not to do it. We're not doing it because Trump wants to hand it to Putin. And now they're floating the idea of giving some territory back in exchange for peace. Not giving anything back, and there will be no peace, right? He'll be like sucker, and then he'll move, on to Romania, on to Poland, Czechoslovakia keeps going. Next thing you know, we're getting boys on boats and sending them over to Europe. You want to spend your summer in France? It's freaking insane. And the fact that it's the dumbest guy ever who's led us here, a guy who didn't serve, who got five deferments out of Vietnam, who's getting cheered by Joe Lunchbucket, son of a Vietnam vet, construction worker guy who's buying this bullshit. No, get your head out of your ass. Learn. You're being manipulated. You're not learning. And a lot of folks just aren't that bright. They're not that sophisticated. So the algorithm and all this stuff is just pumping this poison to them, and they hear it from Joe Schmo at work, and they see it from some dude on TikTok, and they're like, yeah, these illegals are coming. Biden's a corrupt criminal. No, he's not. He's not running a fucking criminal empire. He's been in D.C. for 50 years. He lives in freaking Delaware. Trump lives in a mansion on Palm Beach, owns a building in New York City, and builds hotels in freaking Baku. You know, and tried to build one in Russia, in Moscow, and lied about it the entire time he ran for president. He lied about his taxes. You still haven't seen his tax return. You don't even know who was paying him the first time he was in office. And when he left, his son-in-law walked away with $2 billion. That's entirely investments from Saudi Arabia. The dude lives in Miami. You know how much wealth there is in southern Florida? Do you know how many investment bankers and you know, hedge funds are already down there? And all of his portfolio is from overseas. He doesn't have any of the piece of the money that's there. That should show you how corrupt he is, because he's not trying to grow. He's taken bribes for services already rendered, a la MBS, you know, and Khashoggi during the first term, and what might happen the next time if his dad gets back in office. You know, these are weasels, and these are crafty, evil men, and there will come a point where there isn't a whole lot you can do about it. Now you can do everything about it, but you have to get involved. You can't sleep on it. You got to figure out what you can do in your town to sort of confront this ignorance. You can't stand for it any longer. You got to call people on the bullshit, you know. And the good news is, you know, I think Biden will win, you know, the Electoral College and the vote. I think the hanky-panky might, you know, like with the RFK Jr., they're trying to knock it down so, like, you know, he takes away enough of the vote that neither gets to 270 in Electoral College votes. So then it goes to the House, and the House would obviously appoint Trump. That's sort of the strategy behind RFK Jr., who's a total freaking whack job. And I'm going to be on the Stephanie Miller show tomorrow, and I mentioned that on her show once, and she's like, I'm friends with him. I've been to his house. So it was kind of awkward. But I think she understands he's a whack job now, because he's a fucking whack job, okay? And he's a spoiler, okay? And he killed his wife, basically, you know? So fuck him, you know? And I'm sorry to curse so much, but I'm going to be a little raw between now and November, okay? Because this stuff is serious. And it's like I said before, when it gets overwhelming, tune in with yourself. Find something creative to do. I've been doing a lot of watercolors. You know, find something that you're doing it just for the joy of doing it. Don't binge on this stuff. Become aware, become informed. Don't be manipulated. You don't need hour four of talking about Trump on MSNBC. And also listen to my podcast and buy my book. Don't get into the commodification of this chaos. Get into the real world. This is life or death. I'm fighting for creatures. You know, I'm fighting for people. I'm fighting for children. I'm fighting to protect a way of life for somebody I've never met yet. When I'm dead and gone, somebody else is going to benefit from my time on earth. I'm not going to surrender our democracy and our country to that pig and the morons behind him, because that will not end well. Men like Trump, it never ends well. We know how it ends. And we don't want somebody talking about us in 80 years the way I'm talking about Hitler, okay, and World War II. And again, presence. I love you guys. I know that's a rant. It's part of the reason I don't do this that often, but anymore, because I just don't want to poison you with this stuff. But it's also important, you know? And life is beautiful. You know, I was walking around yesterday. I went for a hike. It was really sunny and warm out, finally, and there's all this moss in this area because it's so wet. And you look at that moss, it's like emerald, you know, and you get, look down and smell like the peaty smell of it, and you see all these little bugs that are waking up. They're like little fairies rising out of the ground, you know, and you see squirrels running around and flowers and the first dandelions, the first, you know, I see the first butterfly spring, I'm like clapping. You know, there's nothing more profound than a butterfly. Look how fast they fly. Look how ethereal they are. You know, they're sleeping in a larvae or whatever under a bunch of leaves all winter, and then it gets warm and they're magical. You know, they're like paintings with wings. You know, they just fly around and they spread love. They spread pollen. They're pollinators. They make flowers grow, you know. All the miracle of this planet can be distilled into these little creatures that all work together. They all work in concert with each other. They all work in harmony. You know, Yeah, they eat each other and stuff, but they do it in a balanced way. They don't house them in factories and say, I'm going to come back and eat your ass later and sell the rest of you. You know, they take what they need and they leave the rest. And it's part of a balance, you know, it's part of being present. I study birds, I study animals, not in a scientific way. And like I sit there in a field and I look at them and I see what I can learn. And I always learn something. You know, mostly I learn patience and presence and stillness. You know, you hear, you watch a bird get a seed, he starts to sing afterwards. He starts to tell his friends, hey, there's some seeds over here, come and get it. You know, that's unique to animals. People look around, pick all the seeds up and put them in their pocket and be like, I got some seeds. Glad I found them first, you know? Because we've been conditioned that way, out of fear, out of capitalism, out of commerce, out of this idea that there's not enough, that somebody's going to come and take from you what's yours. You know, that's coming from a position of lack. That's not coming from a spiritual, like, wellness, right? Those are defects. Those are, you know, those things have some basis in reality and history. I'm not saying life has been easy forever, but, you know, these dudes are, you know, driving to telemarket in Paramus or, you know, sell bonds or whatever they, you know, are doing, acting like, you know, well, I'm in the jungle and it's survival of the fittest. No, it's not, dude. You know, you live in a society, it's easy. Life is easy. You're not a caveman out there with a sharpened stick taking down a saber-toothed tiger. You know, you're going to freaking Whole Foods and getting some chicken wings and watching Netflix at night. You know, you're not getting eaten in your cave. So just, you know, chill out, Charlie. You know, like, don't think of the world as you know, it's something to conquer, that it's something, you know, to fear, that there's predators out there that are going to get me. Think of it as a miracle that you get to be alive and present for, that you get to witness, and that you're a part of all that. You're a part of that eclipse. You're a part of those stars. That sun is fueling your planet, you know? And all the creatures upon it. And you don't have to plunder it. You don't have to take everything out of the seas. You don't have to support industries that have bottom trawlers. You know, you don't have to support men that accept checks from oil companies, you know, to do their bidding. Say what you want about Joe Biden, and he's a, you know, he's a pro-energy guy. He's not a Greenpeace kind of dude. He cares about the environment, but he's a pragmatic, you know, politician of his generation. Hopefully someday we'll move way beyond that, and someday soon, you know, to a more encompassing, you know, environmental stance, and we're going to have to do that quickly. You know, that's sort of my point. That's the next order of business. We got to get out of this chaos first. We got to get the orange chaos agent off our radar, and we got to move forward, you know, as a nation. And we do that by voting blue this November. We do that by getting your friends to the polls. We do that by convincing, you know, our brothers and sisters who have legitimate concerns, you know, about what's going on around the world. Nobody's saying it's right what's happened in Gaza, you know. At the same time, you're not gonna, like, you know, Netanyahu is not Israel. Just if you want to say, you know, Hamas is not, you know, the Palestinian people, it works both ways. It's the people that are gonna get ground up into this meat grinder. It's the people of Ukraine that are, you know, on the chopping block now, and it'll be the people of this country either fighting in Europe or fighting, you know, whatever the hell happens here with some guerrilla insurgency, you know, or just full jackbooted fascism, which is their dream. Can you imagine if he wins? Can you imagine what this country will be like overnight? You don't want to. He is a psychopath. Trust me. Okay? You know that already if you're listening to this show. I won't belabor the point tonight. You know, I want to wish you well. I want to wish you peace. I'll shut up now. I promise to come back soon. I'm working hard on that Trump book. If you've seen any of my tweets or threads, I do this sort of satirical faux literature style, but it allows me to sort of illuminate some of the psychological things and just the grotesque nature of what's really going on. And it's all fact-based. I'm not making this stuff up. I'll just take a specific article and sort of satirize it, you know, in a few paragraphs. So I've been working hard on that. That's what that call was during the podcast. As book agent contacted me from Australia, and I emailed him back, gave him my number. So that'll either be on Substack or a book or something. I'm going to try to set up a patron or something for the podcast. If you watch on YouTube, there's a way to be a member of the YouTube channel. I really got to stay on this stuff because I've been doing it, this kind of stuff more or less for free for a long time, and I'm going to have to like have a find a way to make it self-supporting, through its own contributions, as we say in the program. So if you want to support, buy a t-shirt too, noelcastler.com. You got the t-shirts. I'll send a batch out in the next few days. So anyway, just be well. The Substack is all free too. Everything's free, so don't worry about that. Give of your spirit, go out there and find your bliss, like Joseph Campbell would say. That's the best antidote to the darkness that we're in. Find your light, let it shine, let somebody else admire it, lift up somebody else. We're in this together. That's the good news, Through times of trauma and struggle, you find out what you're made of, you find out who your friends are, You guys are my friends. I love you. I appreciate you listening. You know where to find me. I'll shut up now. I'm sorry the musical introduction went so long. And I'll see you next time. Noel Castler Podcast, episode 109. I'm out. Peace.